Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning? Joe Rexrode, what's going on?
Doing just great.
Yeah?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, my friend.
Ryan awesome. Porth? Another day of that hair looking phenomenal. How's it going?
It's going great, man.
Is this going to be the thing now? You don't care about your hats anymore?
No hats?
I'm done wearing hats in life, yeah.
What, seriously, what's going on with this?
I've just had some high-level stuff going on after 10 a.m. this week.
Okay.
That,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. So it's not for us. Fancy meetings and whatnot.
Sure. Some program director stuff.
So it has nothing to do with you and I.
I mean, I've had meetings with Porth and he wore like a hat and not even a clean one. So I guess that meeting just wasn't that important.
Doesn't care.
It hair looks good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's the bottom. That's all you have to really say back.
Plus, this morning when I was getting ready, I was like, you know what? I'm on a streak. I might as well, you know, heading into next week's vacation, might as well just finish the week strong and put a little slick in the hair, and I knew y'all would appreciate that. So today, it's more so for y'all than anything else.
Well, I don't believe that at all, but that's fine. We appreciate it.
But it's true.
A lot of hair and a lot of feet this week on the show.
A lot of hair and feet on the show this week. And could have more next week, depending on what happens.
Lou may have hairy feet. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, maybe close to finding out.
Heidi might, too.
In just a few days. See what happens on that front.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to lose, by the way. I know. We'll talk about that later. You're going
to
lose.
They have to get there first.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. They might lose today. So if Rocker loses today, then you're off the hook.
I just love that you're so confident. You may have very good reason to be confident. I don't care. I just love that you're very confident. It's going to make the victory that much sweeter.
I'm quite confident.
Okay.
I will say, though, that if they do win today, I expect Jack Leiter to, do everything, do cartwheels and whatever else he can do to try to start Saturday. But I would look for him.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
He sounds very confident in this.
He does sound very confident, which is going to make watching him get this pedicure all the more sweet when it happens. We'll see what happens on that front. See if Vanderbilt can hold up their end of the bargain later today. We'll have a lot to talk about on the Vanderbilt front coming up today. We'll get to that starting in the next segment. But we begin today's show with the mighty Montreal Canadiens. They have punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final. They win 3-2 last night in overtime. Arturi Lehkonen with a game-winning goal. And Shea Weber and company are heading to the Stanley Cup Final. Ryan Porth, your immediate reaction, because there were a lot of people tweeting you last night.
Congrats to the Habs. First time in a long time, so I know that city's going crazy.
First time since 93.
So, 28 years. You know, if they only make it to the Cup Final every 28 years, then, you know.
Probably live with that.
Can live with that.
Well, the scene outside last night, and we'll get to kind of the game part of this here in just a second, but the scene outside last night in Montreal was pretty crazy. Like, people were not allowed to leave the arena after the game was over because of the crowd outside. They were firing off fireworks in the street. There were people just rushing the door outside of the arena. It was basically exactly what you would expect out of a Montreal appearance to the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, I'm glad it went better than Vancouver's last appearance to the Stanley Cup Final.
Give it some time.
Well, that's true. We're not yet to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final that night.
Problem with Canada, huh? Just Canada in general?
Did you not see what happened like 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I feel like you bring up a lot of negative stuff about Canada.
Well,
just care. Go ahead. Continue with your thought.
last night as Lekkonen
scored. They speak a lot of French in Canada. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they do.
Bonjour.
There you go.
So now I've lost my train of thought.
It works.
No, when Lekkonen scored in overtime, I had this thought of like, all right, as much as I didn't want to see Montreal win, A, it's pretty cool that they finished it off at home.
Yeah.
And that it would have been even cooler if it was filled with 23,000 and not just
3,500.
Yeah. Yep. Because that building, when they are clicking, is a really special atmosphere, and especially would have been for last night.
Yeah. It was special the night before in Long Island.
It was.
Where they threw beer on the ice.
Yes, there's a lot of beer raining down on the ice in that game. But, hey, it was special.
Isles fans, what do you want?
That's right. Game 7 coming up tonight between Tampa Bay and the New York Islanders as well. Shea Weber getting it done with a goal last night, too.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, that's the thing. The real problem, like, I don't have this whole thing with Montreal that you guys do. I understand it's like the Yankees thing. I think you guys have probably encountered and dealt with their media. Like, honestly, the only media member I really know is Arpin anyway, yeah,
he's awesome. Yeah.
So, but I will say it's just the Corey Perry thing. That's the problem. And now, you know, he got there last year with Dallas. Yeah. Now he gets there this year. What is this?
He's a secret weapon, man.
Get this guy out of here. Get him out of here.
Corey Perry, the secret weapon to getting to the Stanley Cup final, apparently.
And that's the only, honestly, if not for him, I'd be pretty excited about this.
Yeah.
But he makes it hard to be excited about it.
He really does.
Mark Bergevin last night. Did you see him? The Canadiens general manager?
What part of him? The suit, the hair, the excitement?
He was
feeling
it last night after they won. It was amazing to watch him. I have never seen a general manager react that way. It was awesome. I loved it.
I'm going to need to find this. You're saying it was better than the David Poyle reaction when
yes.
he got up?
That's what I'm saying.
Flapping on the,
oh, yes.
1,000%.
It was better.
But in the context of, like, David Poyle, like, right? That was pretty good.
He was wearing this, like, dark red suit and pants. So he was already, you know, looking dapper, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And then he's got this, like, silver flow that is, like, all crazy. And then he goes crazy when they went in overtime. It was like, quite the spectacle.
He got down to the bench, and he was, like, hugging every player and kissing them with his mask on. It was something to behold.
I'm looking it up. And by the way, the Poyle reaction is you tweeted that. I wasn't even
– I did.
I didn't even look at that.
Yeah. Hey, we're on the same page here. It's what we do here on Robbie and Rex Road. Port, do we have the Shea Weber clip from last night after the Habs won?
We do.
Cool. Let's hear from former Nashville Predators captain Shea Weber, now captain of the Montreal Canadiens, after Montreal punches their ticket last night to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, it's I'm excited, just like I was excited to play every game in this playoff so far. It's whether you're 20 or 35, it's an exciting time, and to still be playing hockey in end of July now, I think it's probably the longest time anyone's played in there, minus the bubble last year. So we're happy to still be playing, and we're excited going forward.
So believe it or not, that was Shea Weber's excited voice in the media. What did you think of that?
Yeah. Calm down, Shea. Take it easy, buddy.
Don't get too excited, man.
I just watched the Bergevin. It's good. He looks like almost looks like Willy Wonka dancing around and
he
stuff.
Does.
You know, Willy Wonka in a red jacket. Much better than Shea's reaction. Come on, Shea.
You think if they
good for him,
do you think if they win the cup, he'll allow himself publicly to like live a little bit, get a little excited?
Like he'll do just an Ovechkin, just be like,
I don't know about that, but like
passing out in fountains and
you
stuff.
You might see Shea Weber like with some big time emotion. Like he scored the goal last night. He went pretty crazy when he scored the goal. But in the media,
put the microphone
that
on.
That was about as good as it's going to get, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, consistency.
But hey, if you would have asked him about the Blue Jays, he would have been very talkative.
I almost feel like if they win the cup, he'll celebrate on the ice, and then he'll get to the media and he'll be like, well, we got to forget this one because next year is like 2 months away.
This is over. We got to focus.
Still got work to do, man.
On camp.
Oh, good for Shea Weber. I know a lot of Predators fans were happy to see him punch his ticket last night, and what we thought was pretty unlikely heading into the I want to say conference finals. By the way, Montreal winning last night and receiving the Western Conference championship trophy was among the weirdest things I've ever seen in the history of hockey. But here we are, one game away from a Barry Trotz, Shea Weber Stanley Cup final.
Sorry, I had to have you turn around to sit there showing. Bergevin was just going nuts. Yeah, how about that? How about that idea? I mean, and at this point, this to me, well, I don't know. Which was less likely? I mean, what did Vegas say? What was the bigger upset per Vegas even going to this? I didn't think either of them were going to happen at all, but I thought this less was going to happen.
I think it's Montreal.
What, compared to what?
Compared to Islanders, Tampa Bay.
Montreal is a bigger upset than – I know Tampa Bay is defending champs and everything, but the Islanders, you could sense it going into the series that could go the distance. After game one with Vegas, you know, rolling them, it was like, all right, well, this is going to be a quick series.
It's too bad that Bob succumbed right at that moment, too, because he was coming out strong right at the beginning. But you were still right in the beginning, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, he could be very close to a victory lap right now. If the Islanders can finish it off. Now, the last time the Islanders were in that building, they lost 8-0. So we'll see if they can fix that heading into Game 7 against Tampa Bay. I would still give Tampa Bay the edge. But I'm allowing myself to maybe believe and hope that it's a Barry Trotz, Shea Weber Stanley Cup final.
I mean, it's... Why not, man?
Hey.
And what? By the way, Ian Safar, producer of Jared and Stillman and Company. Jared and Company, sorry.
Get the name right,
should
Joe.
Should be Caroline and some other dude.
Robbie and Rexrod.
I would call it Caroline and some dude. But Ian made a good point on Twitter last night. Like, this Montreal is, there's your classic example of why people say, get in.
Yeah.
You know, get in to the tournament and... Who knows it? I mean, it happens more in this sport by far, really, than any other sport.
Well, I mean, there's egg on a lot of people's faces. I mean, I sat here and talked about, hey, after the first round, yeah, maybe we're figuring out this Canadian division's not all that good. And here they are in the Stanley Cup final.
Well, the Leafs still suck. We can still make fun of them.
I did see the Toronto fans last night saying, oh, just ran into a juggernaut, man. They're going to the final.
That's right. I guess they can feel better now.
I guess.
Or actually, they should probably feel way worse. Yeah. But, hey.
In NBA news last night, a rough shooting night for Chris Paul and Devin Booker. They fall to the Clippers, so that series at 2-1. Honestly, Joe, I watched a little bit of that game, and with as poorly as Phoenix was playing and to still be in it for as long as they were, it made me even more confident that Phoenix is going to close this thing out against LA.
But good for playoff P.
Yeah, you know,
Paul George plays well. But yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I feel pretty good about them advancing. Makes it a little more interesting.
We'll see 2-1 series there between the Suns and the Clippers.
Can you imagine if the Stanley Cup final was Montreal, New York, and not the Rangers, but the Islanders, and then the NBA finals was Phoenix, Atlanta?
Yeah.
Or Milwaukee,
whatever. Yeah. Still.
Be something.
It would be something.
Quite different from the normal formula in both sports, really. So, congratulations to Shea Weber. We'll see if Barry Trotz can join him in the Stanley Cup final. The New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning facing off in Game 7 tonight. So, we'll see if Barry Trotz can get it done. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to Vanderbilt in action today against NC State. A must-win game for the Doors. What do we think of their chances, and do we believe Kumar Rocker may be on the hill? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrod here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrod here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Big day for the Vanderbilt Commodores today, taking on NC State this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Vanderbilt must win to stay alive and force another game against NC State, which would take place tomorrow if necessary. And the question is today, will Kumar Rocker be on the mound? Now, I think we all believe that he will, and it's been, this will be 5 days fully of rest since Kumar Rocker has pitched. He pitched last Saturday in the win for Vanderbilt against Arizona. Rocker went 5 2/3 in that game, gave up 3 earned runs, 5 runs overall. So still a decent performance from Kumar Rocker last time, but not the vintage Kumar Rocker that we've come to see and know in the postseason in his time at Vanderbilt. They'll need a bounce-back performance from him today if they want to stay alive against NC State, an NC State team that Vanderbilt has already seen firsthand. It can be very difficult to score on that team. So you're going to need a good pitching performance from Kumar Rocker today. Joe, this is part of what kind of went through my mind as Vanderbilt had the dramatic comeback win against Stanford a couple of nights ago was, all right, you've let them off the hook. Now you've given them more opportunities. And you give a guy like Kumar Rocker another opportunity. My guess would be that he's going to make the most of it, and we're going to see a pretty good performance today out of Kumar Rocker. What are your thoughts as Vanderbilt heads into this game, an elimination game against NC State this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised. You know, that's the one time ever in this tournament that he's looked human, and even that had something to do with the defense behind him early. I mean, that inning could be totally different if there's better glove work behind him. And then I think he set down 16 in a row against Arizona.
Yep.
Gives up the 2-run bomb, so ultimately it's not his best. But, yeah, that'd be quite surprising for him not to come out strong today. I definitely expect him to pitch, and it is one fewer day of rest than normal. But, you know, meaning to look back at his pitch count, but it wasn't massive. He didn't reach triple digits, I don't believe, in that game. So he should be good to go, and that's big for them. And, of course, NC State, Sam Highfill, the guy who was really good and really frustrated.
He did have 101.
Oh, okay, 101.
Yep.
So there you go. You know, I mean, look, it's not going to be – I mean, they're, you know, Vanderbilt's going to need some bullpen work, but the only guy who really of their main – arms in the bullpen who really went extended the other day was Maldonado.
Yeah.
So, I mean, McIlvain, I mean, they should be okay as long as Rocker gives them what they're hoping for. You know, if you can get 6-7 innings out of him, then you can be in good shape. You have to score. But Highfill, the guy who really frustrated them, I don't think there's any way he goes today. Now, tomorrow, if they get to tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, that could be interesting.
Could be interesting, and I mean, the bottom line is, if you're Vanderbilt, you've got a way to string some runs together. I mean, even in the game you won the other night, there were opportunities offensively to capitalize that you didn't take advantage of. And that's kind of been the story all trip to Omaha long for this group, is you've got to find a way to get more consistent offense. We saw Enrique Bradfield come up with a huge hit. We saw Javier Vaz continue to play well since coming into the lineup. But this NC State team has been on a roll ever since they got absolutely shelled by Arkansas in the Super Regional and gave up 21. They haven't lost since, and they've been outstanding both defensively, and they've come up with some timely hits as well. We know NC State can pitch, and they can play pretty good defense. You've got to find a way, if you're Vanderbilt, regardless of who's on the mound today, to break through offensively. And the good thing is, and this was the same story with Leiter, as they were playing against NC State as well, you might only need 3 runs today, 2-3 runs, if Kumar Rocker looks like Kumar Rocker that we've seen all postseason long, essentially, to this point.
Maybe, yeah. But it is, I mean, look, there's still, I mean, look, incredible at-bat from Javier Vaz. Obviously,
yep.
Bradfield, you know, they need Bradfield. And Bradfield also got on, he got picked off, one of those mental errors early in that game, but you feel good about him. There's some guys they need to get going. I mean, it was big that, you know, Keegan had really been struggling, hits the 2-run bomb. Obviously, he's a huge part of what they need to do offensively. I wonder if there might be some kind of, you know, some changes. I mean, Spencer Jones gives you one of your best at-bats the other night, you know, as a pinch hitter. And just because he slapped it the other way just enough to get on base, and, of course, you inspire the error. But there's some guys that they really need to get going. Isaiah Thomas is a guy who has not, you know, he's struggled in.
He's got one hit in Omaha.
Yeah, in Omaha. They're, you know, really up and down the lineup. And, look, you get to this point, and you're facing really good pitchers, and this is a super young lineup. I mean, it's, and it is, I mean, Tim Corbin's talked about it all year, and you get to this stage against some of the arms that they're seeing, and it's going to be tough. But I mean, the other night, you know, Keegan and Bradfield, and then Parker Nolan had a couple big hits. Now, is Tate Colwick, is he back? He was able to pinch it and got a huge hit. You know, that would be big for them. You know, C.J. Rodriguez, you got so much on your plate as a catcher. And it's up and down the lineup. It's you know, sometimes that happens too. You know, people just go hot and cold in this game. They got too many guys right now who are cold. But I think you also have to credit, like Monday, you got to credit Highfield for being so good too. And then back the other night, I mean, he made him look bad, but he's a stud. And then, of course, it all crumbled on. By the way, apparently, Beck screamed. I think it was it Nolan who tried to bunt? I think it was Nolan who tried to bunt and screamed at him with some swing the bleeping bat stuff, apparently. So that's interesting.
That didn't work out so well.
Well for Beck in the end. But, yeah, he still feel bad for that guy. That's a tough way to go out.
It is. I feel less bad for him now. Knowing that, but yeah, it is a tough way to go out on that front. I look at Rocker in this game, and to me, this is the game that it feels like he's made for. Like it just seems watching him throughout his career, which is honestly why I can't really believe he's not even higher than he is on some draft boards. When the moment gets big, and when you need to have him come up big the most. Typically, Kumar Rocker responds pretty well for you. This is another opportunity for him today. I don't know at this point, a couple of the weeks away from the draft, how much people's boards are really going to change at this point. But if I'm at the top part of that draft, I'm paying pretty close attention today because this is exactly what you want out of a pitcher, is coming in big game moments and rising to the occasion, which he's done time and time again for this Vanderbilt team.
Yeah, this could have an impact. You know, on what happens in the draft, it's possible. I mean, he's going to go in the first, I guess now, the latest one I saw had him going 6.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen him at 8th.
That would be a heck of a value. That'd be a heck of a value. And I understand with Leiter and Rocker, you know, Leiter's got fastball with movement at 98, you know? And, I mean, I understand, and Rocker right now has kind of been in that 93, 94 range. But he's got everything you want. The slider is lethal. His fastball is great movement. And just the competitiveness. And I also think that he's going to be an innings guy. I mean, he's just he's built that way. He's built for that. So, yeah, you get him at 8, you're feeling pretty good. But, I mean, today that could have impacted. There may be a GM in there who has a chance who's like, you know what, let's see if he can dominate in this situation. Even though he has done it before, your most recent information is going to have some kind of an impact.
And then if he does, it'll be another game for Vanderbilt taking on NC State. And we'll see whether or not Jack Leiter will be on the mound to begin that game. Some reinforcements yesterday on Team Porth and Team Stanley on Darren Donica Chase. We'll get to that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook, because during the conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game, and that means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. The conference finals well underway, the Suns and the Clippers, the Hawks and the Bucks, and there are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs as well. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Plus, the app is very, very easy to use. So just sign up today with promo code ROB to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that promo code is ROB to unlock 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Vanderbilt taking on NC State later today in the College World Series. And as we know, if Vanderbilt is able to win today, they'll take on NC State again tomorrow. And there's a friendly competition, a friendly bet here on the show that has been made. If Jack Leiter starts the elimination game on Saturday for Vanderbilt, should Vanderbilt win today? Ryan Porth, Robbie Stanley are right, and that means Joe Rexrode. Apparently, Chase McCabe has entered this fray as well, officially.
Oh,
I heard him talk about it on the show yesterday. So he's officially accepted responsibility. Apparently, you and Chase McCabe will both receive pedicures, along with Heidi from Dixon, our faithful listener. If Jack Leiter does not start the game tomorrow, should Vanderbilt win today, both Ryan Porth and myself will receive pedicures alongside of our faithful listener, Heidi from Dixon. So if Kumar Rocker pitches well today and Vanderbilt is able to get the job done, some high stakes in more than one ways tomorrow for the Vanderbilt-NC State game. Looking forward to it.
Is Chase, is he a pedicure guy? Does Chase like pedicures?
I doubt it.
I highly doubt he's ever
just
gotten one.
He's just jumping in there like, oh,
he's just jumping in there.
He has no shame.
I hope he does not get a pedicure like he swings a sledgehammer. Like kick someone in the face when they're trying to like scrape corns off his feet.
There's a lot of scraping talk from you this week.
I know. Well, Heidi, like, did you see Heidi's text about all this stuff?
Yeah.
She's like, she knows someone who, so now they had a pedicure and now they
can't walk barefoot anymore.
It's like, jeez.
I know, that kind of scared me.
It's going well. This will be great. Looking forward to it.
I'm still 63% sure Heidi won't show.
63? Look, I told you this yesterday. I stand by it. I am more convinced Ryan Porth won't show than Heidi. I don't have confidence that Ryan Porth's going to show up to this.
I will show up.
Show up.
Okay.
He's going to be publicly the public shaming if he doesn't show.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
Now, does Heidi have to be there for us to follow through with this?
See, well, look, he's already trying to find it out.
Well, no,
Well, I mean, we have to pick a place, and we have to pick a time, and we have to hope that Heidi shows up.
Yeah. That's what it's going to boil down to at that point.
And then Big Lou walks in and says, let's go, boys!
Let's get our pedicure.
See what happens on that front.
Lou Heidloff here.
I know this. Lou Heidloff. I know this. Ryan Porth and myself received some reinforcements yesterday in our way of thinking on Darren Donica Chase. Todd Walker, who of course has been doing a great job with College World Series coverage, joined Darren Donica Chase yesterday and talked about what he would do if Saturday comes about and Vanderbilt is still alive. Here's what Todd Walker had to say.
For Vanderbilt, that would be a deal if I'm Tim Corbin. I'm going to Al Leiter and I'm saying, what do you think? You know, I mean, I don't want to blow the kid out, but it's not outrageous. I mean, he's been on rest for 4 days at that point, you know, so it's like one day removed from being ideal, you know, so, but it would be a conversation I'd have with the dad who has all the experience in the world. And I'm sure that Al would say, yeah, let's go. And then I'm sure that Jack Leiter says, I want the ball. So I don't see any way that you leave Leiter on the bench, through that Saturday game trying to get to the finals. You know, I think he's in. And to your point, I think what you were trying to say, on 3 days rest, he might be a pin guy, behind Kumar Rocker on Friday for an inning or so, you know, just to get you through that game. But I doubt they would do that. They'd probably bring in Maldonado and they've got a couple guys out of the pen that they're capable of closing the door for Kumar. But I think you can see Kumar go 8 innings. You know, he's going to eat up most of those innings.
Yeah.
And throw really well. And then Jack Leiter on Saturday. I think that's how it's going to line up.
So Todd Walker thinks if Vanderbilt wins today, we're going to see Jack Leiter start on Saturday. Joe Rexrode, your reaction?
I'm glad this happened. You guys can get all excited now. It's not going to happen. So here's a point that's been made to me by someone inside the program. What is Vanderbilt there for?
I mean, I would hope to win.
They're there to win it, and they are not going to win it with neither of those guys pitching in the final series. Now, maybe Rocker could go on Wednesday. It's another, but Leiter's out. He's out for the final series. Not to mention, again, all the other things we've talked about. I mean, for one thing, Walker there doesn't realize that's a 2-day difference. It's not a 1-day difference. It's a 2-day difference.
Well, he said ideal. I mean, they've pitched on 5 days rest this season.
But they have, but the norm is 6. So it's a 2-day difference from the norm. I'll look back. It's probably happened a couple times this year for Leiter. You know, they've had, like you said, you know, they've had those series that go Thursday,
I can
Friday,
guarantee
Saturday.
You in high school, he's pitched on 4 or 5 days rest.
Sure.
And Rocker's about to pitch on 5 days rest, which is ideal for him.
Well, six is ideal, but one day difference is still right. It's still one versus two. There's a difference in the difference.
Sure,
right. There's a difference in the difference.
There's a difference in the difference.
Come on now. So
you can run it every snap, or you can throw it every snap. Right. It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
Yes.
Thank you, Coach.
If Vanderbilt had Pruitt. Yeah, I mean, Leiter, it'd probably be Leiter and Rocker both starting today somehow.
It probably would be. They'd be throwing left-handed.
Yeah. But now I will say I don't think it's going to happen at all, but I do think that Jack Leiter – I mean, I think Walker's probably right about the Leiters. You know, I don't know about Al, but Jack, are you kidding me? I mean, he's going to be – but, again, like for Vanderbilt, they are here to win this thing. They're going to need, just like they needed, you know, Christian Little in the bullpen to figure something out, they're going to need other people to step up. And I also will say this, some of it I think is dictated by today. If Rocker gives them what they hope for and the bullpen gets a light day, you also feel better about, okay, Riley, give us three innings, on and on, go through that. Then you have Jack Leiter, game one, final series. Feel great about that.
Yeah, if you unleash there.
I understand if you get
again,
there.
Again, this is – if you're operating that way, quite frankly, that's stupid. Like, it's you have to get there.
It's not stupid when
– It's very stupid.
No,
you have to get there.
It's not stupid. It's not stupid when you are built your program on pitcher rest, uh-huh. arm rest, that stuff. That's this kid's future, his life, way more important than a stupid
game. Well, that's great, but you're talking about their goal is to win, and you're saying, all right, well, it's a winner take all game. Our goal is to win this tournament, and we're going to leave our best pitcher on the side. That makes no sense.
Except it's a 2-day difference.
Okay.
And he just threw 123 pitches. It's not stupid.
You're sitting there
it's
talking about to do the other thing. Your reasoning just was, okay, well, why are they there? They're there to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if they're there to win, pitch your best player.
They're not going to win the national championship unless other guys help.
Sure.
They can't ride these two guys to everything. They can't.
Sure.
So, okay, so you have to rely on these other guys.
But what – okay, so if you get through this game Saturday –
what's a better chance of success? Jack Leiter 2 days earlier than normal after 123 pitches, or Jack Leiter totally fresh in the final series?
What's a better chance of success? He has to get there.
Great. You're not going to win the – if you don't win the national championship, then great. You got to the final series. Yay. You got another game. You got to the final series. You're there to win a national championship. You have a better chance of Jack Leiter winning you a big game – if he has his normal rest and there's no question about it.
I can tell you this.
You can get there.
If they get there on Saturday and Leiter doesn't touch the field and they lose, have fun explaining that one. That'll be great.
I don't have a problem with that at all. So let's go into the final series and you don't have either of those guys. Yay, you're not going to win crap.
How do you know?
Well,
you have to get there.
You're trying to win a national championship.
Exactly. And you have to get to the national championship in order to win one.
So you have your best two players who don't play in the final series. Yay! Good luck, Vanderbilt!
There's a mic there, Joe.
Yeah,
there is a mic there.
There's a good clap other than that. I mean, look, if it was 1 day difference and he had pitched 100 or 90 pitches, and then I think it's a stronger case. But a lot of factors here add up to it's not going to happen.
I mean, you may be right. It may not happen. The pitch count thing to me, you're talking about one time. It's not like you're throwing him on 4 days rest three times in a row. It's one time. It's really not that big of a deal.
Well, that's Corbin's thing, which is interesting to hear Jared talk about. In the old days, it's obviously changed. He's huge on that stuff. I mean, that's how he's gone about his business. And I do think that Leiter could see the game. I think, okay, Jack, you know, we see this all the time. Like back the other day, an inning and a half, two innings, maybe. That, I think, like, be ready, but.
So you throw him two, and then you're going to start him a couple days later?
Well, you're probably not going to start him. Then you're not going to start him on Monday. But
well,
you'd still be able to have him. If you start him and have a full thing from him on Saturday, he's done.
Well, I'm not. You don't have to have a full thing from him.
Well, okay.
So on that point, would tomorrow be. On a normal 6-day rest, would tomorrow be his throw day? Like, to go throw in the bullpen? Because you see this in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and they always talk about, you know, when it was Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin that basically led the Nationals to a World Series.
Yeah.
Those starters, when they were on their throw day in the bullpen, instead of doing it, you know, in the afternoon, they went in there and did like one or two innings in the seventh and eighth.
Yeah.
Right.
So like that could be a natural thing for him to throw 30 pitches on Saturday out of the bullpen,
right,
and still be fine.
Well, I think a lot of that
on Monday.
That's the inning.
If
right.
Saturday is his quote unquote throw day to prepare for that next start.
Well, I think a lot of that depends on today too. Like, how can Rocker eat up seven innings a day and your bullpen's still in good shape? Like, if you've got Maldonado that doesn't have to pitch today, probably feeling a lot better about just throwing in Maldonado for three innings tomorrow too.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's also, look, Leiter's going to campaign for it for sure, right? I mean, of course he will. And it's going to be, they're going to see how he feels. And maybe it could be, it's like he's begging for it. Al says, come on, let's do it. And he feels great. But I'll tell you, like right now, I don't think that's at all the plan. And I get it. But that is part of the discussion is like, okay, the big picture here is, I understand you got to make it, but the big picture here is like, what's the best formula to win the thing? You know, you're going to need a Riley to give you a few innings. You're going to need a McElvain to give you a few innings. And
well,
Jack,
if that's
Jack
the case,
Leiter,
why would you not just pitch Riley today, go Rocker tomorrow, and have Leiter available for game one at that point?
Well, because it's a day difference and it's a 20 pitch difference.
I know,
but
you're talking about setting yourself up for success. Why would you not do it that way? Like, you're sitting here telling me at some point you're going to need somebody else to step up, but today they're going Rocker. They obviously feel like today's pretty important to have Rocker.
Right, but there's a difference between Rocker today and Leiter tomorrow. That's why.
I understand that.
That's the answer.
At some point, you're going to have to. It's one day difference.
Okay. A day doesn't matter?
No, it does not.
Okay. I think it matters a lot. And I also think that Rocker is a much bigger guy. He's an older guy. I think there's less concern about him than there is about a Leiter, who's a sophomore, who's in his first tournament ever. I mean, there's a lot of things that are different between those two situations. If you have a chance to go with Rocker and it's just one day difference and he's done the 5-day thing, yeah, go with him. If Leiter was in the exact same situation, same thing, but it's not going to be the same situation tomorrow.
Coming up next, LSU has made their decision, and a very popular candidate, not a part of the conversations, apparently. We'll get to that coming up next. Is this a massive mistake for LSU in the SEC picture? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing some college baseball action. Vanderbilt taking on NC State this afternoon at 1 o'clock in a winner-take-all, or not a winner-take-all game. You get an advance to win if you're Vanderbilt, and then set up a winner-take-all game tomorrow on Saturday for NC State and Vandy.
All right, I'm not done arguing this point.
Okay.
All right, so look at it this way. So you need four wins, right?
Correct.
So let's say they go with Leiter and start whatever. If they go with Leiter, I think, can we all agree that Leiter would not, I mean, it would be some, there would be some limitations.
Sure.
Okay. So
yeah, I don't think anybody expects if they went with Leiter tomorrow that he'd be out there throwing seven innings.
Right. So this is why I think it's better to not do it, because so you have that and you have Leiter for whatever, three innings, whatever you're going to get out of him. It's probably going to be look more like a Christian Little start or what Riley, I think, will get. And then, so that's Saturday. So now you got Sunday, you got Monday, the series starts, you got Tuesday. There's 3 days, and then you got – so you're going to have another half-ass Leiter. And again, not his performance, but his ability to contribute at some point in there versus no, nothing. Here's the full Leiter in your face for game one of the final series. No limitations, go the whole thing. To me, of having to win four games – I'd rather have full Leiter for one of them than some of him for two. That's just me.
I mean, I hear you, but I mean, again, you have to win one game. That's what this boils down to. You have to win against NC State. I hear what you're saying. But if you don't beat NC State, it doesn't matter. You're not playing at that point. So I get it. From your approach, four games, yes, a lot of what you're saying makes sense. But I think if you start playing that game and you start looking ahead of, well, if we do this, Leiter's going to be available for Game 2 in the College World Series. Well, that's great, but what happens if you're sitting at home watching the College World Series and you didn't throw him out there?
But that's also in tandem with something that's really important to Corbin, which is none of this stuff is ever going to get in the way of, like, a kid who has a huge future and jeopardize it. And I know some baseball people are like, ah, come on, pitch counts are stupid, all this stuff. But he believes in that stuff. I mean, and frankly,
I think over time he believes in that stuff. Again, this is a one-game example. I think we're making way too much of the pitch count on a one-game example. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's not like we're talking about shifting his total approach and, hey, from now on, you're starting on every 4 days. Like, you're talking one time.
All it takes is one time, Robbie.
That's true. And it's true. This is going to be great.
Someone's going to get some.
You know, we're sitting here yelling at each other about this, and then, like, Vanderbilt will lose today, and we won't even get to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be.
Be our luck.
And you will.
And then we'll luck out of not having to get.
A sigh of relief.
Petties. Look, I got to tell you, I was talking about this to my wife last night, and she's. I have never seen her pull harder for anybody in any sport ever than she is for Vanderbilt today. She wants to see this happen so badly. So. Look, I'm here. I am willing. I am ready, willing, and able to make this sacrifice. I'll get the pedicure.
I mean,
Rex Rhodes very confident. He's right.
Who's gonna? Yeah. I mean, I've had one before. So if I'm wrong, I mean, it's. Well, I could probably use some help on my feet. It's been a while. But we need to, like, you know, we need a place to anyone out there wants to give us a. I mean, again, Katie and Caroline have, like, a place they go. I mean, we could do that. But is
Heidi from Dixon going to make the trip?
Right. Heidi from Dixon needs to. I mean, we can meet you halfway, Heidi.
Yeah.
Go to, like, Bellevue or something?
I mean, you're certainly not going to find an area of expertise as where's the best place to go from me. So we'll need to do some investigative work on this.
Anyone out there who has any ideas, you know, or would like to step up and give us free pedicures. We can, you know, we can talk.
See if we can make something happen.
Yeah.
The more Joe talks
slide
about
slide into our text line.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
The more Joe talks about this, about the strategy with Leiter, the more I understand it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have been, you know, Robbie and I, the two of us have been like, you got to get there. But if you get there and flame out in two games because you don't have Leiter or Rocker and you're, you know, relying on a bullpen or these starters that don't have as much experience, not as good, then, like, what's the point of burning Leiter at that point? If the end goal is to win, you know, if you're going to have to rely on the bullpen to win you a game or two games in the best of three, why not hope that they can get you one game against NC State and then have Leiter ready for game one and you like your chances if he pitches very well? You like your chances of winning game one? And then
I guess you're hoping at that point Rocker can go game three if necessary.
If necessary.
And when would game three be? Do we know?
It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, okay. Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I mean –
You're getting like half a Rocker. Like, that's probably 4 or 5 innings of you're going as long as
he can go.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
I can see.
I like
see
how you
it.
Come around. Doesn't I mean can see it doesn't it. Mean that you're getting out of the pedicure when you're wrong. But
no.
Good.
No. When Jack Leiter throws a first inning on Saturday.
I will say. I mean, one thing that's interesting about, like, if they were open to using him. Because, like you said, like, we see this in the major leagues all the time in the postseason. Right?
It's incredible how much managers rely on their starting pitching to be their bullpen in the playoffs.
But the difference is with major league teams, I mean, anyone there typically, like, they've got a rotation, right? I mean, they've got a rotation where even at the bottom of the rotation, like, okay, we can get a start out of this guy, right? But, like, if Vanderbilt is fine and is like, well, you know, he may be available – I mean, you could just say it's going to be two innings from the start. You could. Yeah. But I think the idea will be, gosh, it'd be great to not use him. Maybe will if absolutely necessary. That's what I think is going to happen.
We'll have to wait and see.
We will.
It all depends on the outcome today anyway. So we'll see if Vanderbilt can get it done today.
We're going to spend hours this week talking about a game that doesn't happen.
Against NC State coming up at 1 o'clock today. Joe, apparently LSU has made their decision on a coach. They have hired Jay Johnson from Arizona to be the next coach of the LSU baseball program, which means no Tony Vitello. And we talked about yesterday LSU narrowing their search to three managers and Tony Vitello not being a part of that. Look, I guess we don't really know if they talked with Tony Vitello or if they didn't or what exactly went on there. But it feels to me like if that's the case and they've gone through this process and Tony Vitello was never reached out to or they never even wanted to talk to him, feels to me like that's a pretty big mistake by LSU.
Well, and I tweeted this last night, like, I don't understand why you are jumping at a good coach for sure, but you don't have the obvious ties and like all the things you laid out there. And then you didn't get into the weeds with Vitello. Now, I had a lot of Tennessee fans say, well, how do you know this wasn't Vitello saying thanks, but no thanks? Look, I don't know. I will say that if I was his agent and he did that, I'd say, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, you got to listen.
Yeah, sit down and talk. Of course. I have a hard time believing that's how it went down. It reads to me like LSU was just like, and maybe it's, look, maybe they didn't like the idea of the optics of the Tennessee baseball coach turning them down, which actually was a real possibility. I think it would have happened. There's a little bit of the arrogance of like, we're not going to need to hire the Tennessee, right? There's a little bit of that, maybe. But I just think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. If it is as it reads, I think LSU, that's silliness. Now, doesn't mean that Johnson won't be good. I mean, gosh, you can win there. By the way, sensitive fans on the sensitive fan front, Vanderbilt and Tennessee, both fantastic at times. Okay, I tweeted that, like, what are they doing? This is what Chris Kepley, Tennessee fan, said to me back on Twitter. Joe, we know you Vandy people look down at the Tennessee job like it's a second-rate gig.
Yeah.
But he's got a darn good situation in Knoxville, especially the pay bump he's about to get. Like, first of all, what? What? What are you talking about?
You got your Vandy underwear on today?
Yeah, my gosh. The anchored down underoos. Yes, I love the team that you hate, and I hate your team. That's how it is.
Those are the best on Twitter.
But it's like, I think it's just a mistake by LSU. And I do believe Vitello. I mean, look, he said some strong stuff on this show yesterday about loyalty and how he feels. And that's not going to ultimately decide it. If it were to come down to a situation like that, the administration got to step up. But I think they are. And I think ultimately he would have stayed. If I were LSU, I would have really made a run.
Yeah.
Or at least, if not focused on him, it's not like he's the only good coach in the country. He would have been in my pool, certainly.
Absolutely. But, hey, this is great news for Tennessee.
Exactly. Because
he is not going to LSU.
There you
so,
go.
Looks like Tony Vitello could be around to stay for a while for Tennessee. And, like you said, some strong comments yesterday here on the show. And we'll see how quickly Tennessee and Danny White are able to generate some of these facility changes that are going to be necessary for Tennessee baseball to continue to recruit at this level and continue to make Tony Vitello as happy as possible. Speaking of Tony Vitello, he has come in and he has changed the program, changed the way of thinking for Tennessee baseball. What's it going to take to get that done with football as well? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.